Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 48 through 51. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to him. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart.
There are so many Bible verses that are going to be popular in pulpits all across this country today. The one from Proverbs 31 that says, "An excellent wife, who can find? Her children rise up and call her blessed." The one from Psalm 127 that says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward." Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians chapter 6, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land that your father is giving you to possess. All these different verses that always seem to come up on Mother's Day. And the reason that they come up and the reason that they are so popular is partly because they're some of the only verses that talk about motherhood in a positive connotation directly in the scripture. There's a lot of other references that talk about how to be a bad mother and how to learn from negative examples. But those verses are also popular because they genuinely convey hope that parents can have when we believe in God, that our kids are a blessing from God and powerful blessings at that, and that our job, while it is a very important and heavy one, our job as parents is a blessed work. And so, this morning, particularly for moms, I want to spend some time reminding moms how to find joy in being mom. I've scoured Christian bookstores. I have looked at blogs, listened to speeches. I have gone to conventions and heard stuff about this. I've put together as much conventional wisdom as I could find to give you as much of this as I can, to give you as much good stuff as I have. All of that deep mining of all of those different sources has yielded 5 pieces of advice for all you ladies on finding happiness in motherhood. So here they are. Number one, make sure that your children are the most important thing in your life. Okay, that's number one. Number two, depend on their success, whether they stay clean, whether they are smart, and whether they behave themselves as the basis for your joy. Number three, listen to every voice that tells you any piece of advice about being a mother and try to do all of it. Don't ever overlook anything. Listen to every single piece of advice and put it all to work. Number four, stop trying so hard. Just let life happen. And then number five, make sure that you worry constantly. Worry constantly that you're not good enough as a mother. Okay? All that sound right? Well, if you've looked in the same places that I have, it at least sounds familiar, doesn't it? Man, you look in the blogs, you look in the books, you look in the great speeches, and you go to the conventions, and it all probably sounds really familiar. But what's missing? What's the glaring omission from all of that? Well, the conspicuous absence is the Word of God. All that stuff may be useful to some extent, but only when it agrees with the Word of God. You know, all those 5 things there, they try real hard to be good advice, but all of them fall woefully short of faithfully being good news. You know? Not a single bit of that is good news. And as a result, not many of them are even good advice. There's a big difference between those 2 things, good advice and good news. And because they are so far short of the one, they barely even touch the hem of the garment of the other. Now, I think that's easy enough to see when we put it in the context where we're sitting this morning. When we put this in the context of a sermon on the scriptures, it's easy to see that those are not very good advice. But it's harder to see that when you haven't been listening to the Spirit's voice in the Word, and you have been listening to all those other sources. And so this morning, moms, I want to give you a bit of encouragement from the Word of God in no uncertain terms, because this advice will leave you uncertain, and the Word of God will leave you with absolute certainty on how to find joy in being a mom. God gives one piece of advice. It's not even advice. God gives one thought on how to find joy in being a mom, and it is this: find your joy in Jesus Christ. Stop depending on your kids and your husband to fulfill you and make you somebody and make you happy. Appreciate what you get from them. But don't demand something from them that they just don't have the power to give. Depend on Christ to bring you joy. You look at all of that stuff in context and comparison to what Jesus offers us and the joy that He offers. Does any of it even sound good anymore? It doesn't to me. None of it sounds like good advice because it's not about finding joy in Christ. And that's really what the Scriptures tell us over and over and over again. None of these verses are specifically about moms, but they all apply in that stage of life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 14, as he talks about the Israelites, he says they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That is what gave them life. He is what fulfilled them. In John chapter 7, Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, don't let them go to their kids and to their husband for help with finding a drink. Let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And then again, the same author, John, tells us about the time that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. All of these point to Christ, to Jesus Himself, as the centerpiece of existence and life and fulfillment. No wonder then that Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added to you. Small wonder that he said that when it really is that important. And then finally, let me give you this passage to remember as well, something that you've heard before, but let's put it in context of rejoicing as mothers. Paul's word to the Philippians when he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. I think most of the time we read that passage, it sounds like a command. Hey, rejoice, right? I think most of the time that's the way we think that. I don't think it's a principle as much as a prescription, as much as it's permission. Permission. Rejoice. You have Christ. You're allowed to be glad about that. You're allowed to be glad about a lot of things because they are gifts from God. And that means, moms, that you only need Jesus to have joy in this life. One of our hymns this morning, it is my favorite hymn, Nearer Still Nearer, that Tommy led a little while ago. The line says, give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified. That's the only thing I need. I don't need any of the other pleasures and pomp of this life. Just give me Jesus. That's a prayer that is worth us praying for everybody, but especially for finding joy in motherhood. And so, there's a positive example. Let me give you an example in the negative. We were recently at a big convention for parents and teachers, and I was just walking around the convention floor, and I saw this lady coming, and I felt bad. I didn't get my phone out like snap a picture or anything, but I kind of wanted to. But her shirt said this. I'll put it on the screen. Her shirt said, "All I need is Jesus and coffee." Yeah. Oh man, that's funny on Facebook, but y'all, that is really bad theology. Man, that is really bad. That might set you up for a lot of good sales on Etsy, but it is not sending a message of faith in the Savior. It really isn't. All we need is Jesus. Amen. In everything that happens from day to day, find reasons to rejoice because it is a gift from the God of heaven and His Son, Jesus Christ. Do that one thing, and you will find that you have already been given all other things that you need. You do that, and you will find it so much easier to rejoice in your kids. You will find it so much easier to rejoice in growth that you see in them and in yourself. You will find it so much easier to rejoice in the way that modern life is lived. I know that it comes with nuisances. I know that it comes with stress, but at least it comes with dishwashers and washing machines and air conditioning It comes with cell phones. It comes with people that live close and that you can depend on. Rejoice in the way that modern life is lived. It'll help you to rejoice in the church and the relationships that can strengthen you there. And rejoicing in Jesus will help you to rejoice in the fact that you get the opportunity to teach your children about God's love for them and what it means to have faith in Jesus Christ. I thought about this morning making a long list of techniques for you. Of techniques for how you could do some of this, about prayer time with your kids or journaling or Christian mom groups or good books you could read or different things like that. I thought about some of those, but all of those are just techniques. They are all a means to an end. And the end is that you find your joy in seeking Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, moms, that your kids know this. Oh man, I left my notes for this. I left it laying over there by Caitlin where she's sitting. Your kids know this, and I know this because as several of them were coming in this morning, I asked them, I said, what does mommy need to be happy? What does a mommy need to be happy? Henry was the first one I asked because I saw him first thing this morning. So I asked him, what does mommy need to be happy? And he said, she needs a happy Mother's Day card and some flowers. She got that today. Okay. I asked a couple of the other kids later, and the answers were, she needs hugs. She needs me to be happy. She needs me to obey and to listen, and all that's true. But I was really impressed, the kindergarten and first graders class. I had Miss Terry ask them when they came into class, what does mommy need to be happy? And one of the kids said, she needs God and Jesus. Yeah, that's what it is. That is the answer. All the others are some answers. That is the answer. That kid gets it. And mom, you need to make sure that you're listening, to those kids who say it that way. I know that all of that might sound really simplistic, and I guess it probably is if you don't believe that Jesus actually does all that he promises to do. But for a person of real faith, real trust in Jesus, this one shift can change your perspective on daily life, on money, on grocery shopping, on late nights, on laundry and dishes and vacuuming and impossible questions and why. All of that perspective can all be changed if we make sure that what is really driving us is joy in Jesus Christ. Moms, we appreciate all that you do. Whether your kids are really young or they're in their adolescent years or your kids are already grown, your godly faithfulness to them is a blessing to the entire world, and that is not an exaggeration. Your godliness to your kids is a blessing to the entire world. You, moms, are an irreplaceable, crucial word right there, irreplaceable part of God's glorious plan for the whole earth. He determined that you should be where you are in life. I'm just the voice that he's using to remind you of that today. But you are irreplaceable, moms. And we love you and we thank you. And I pray that you will be able to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and that all these other things will then be added to you. Maybe this morning there's somebody among us that you've been seeking joy in everything but Jesus Christ, and you need to repent. With all the sincerity of your heart, you need to tell Jesus that you are sorry for having sought other joy than what he has promised. And you need to make a promise to seek him for that joy in the future. Now, maybe you want to do that publicly. You can if you want. But maybe you just want to do that in the quiet of your own heart. And just take a minute now to talk to God and to tell him that you're sorry and to re-promise yourself to keeping his will and to finding joy and fulfillment in him. If anybody wants to talk to me or to one of the shepherds this morning about a spiritual need that we can help you with, we want you to come and let us know about that. And you can do that by coming down to the front while we stand and sing this hymn together.